Chapter 1. We were river people. River people don't have any business going to the sea. The state of Arkansas is an innard in the abdomen of North America. A gallbladder, maybe. Or a spleen. Our arteries pool with visible edges. Arkansas waters are crossable, bridgeable, cushioned on every bank. My hometown of Arkadelphia rests at the bumpy toes of the Ouachita Mountains, where two rivers converge. The Ouachita, some 600 miles total, gathers up the shorter Caddo just north of town, and together they run green and curvy down the city's east side on their lazy way to Louisiana. With my dad's recent purchase of a blue and white Volkswagen bus, we Greens finally had a vehicle with a wide enough mouth for all eight of us. Since we all fit, why not drive for days on end, packed tighter than my great-grandmother Miss Ruthie's chewing tobacco, from our small college town all the way to our cousins in North Florida? What's a few more miles, Dad said, taking a red felt tip to the map and tracing an additional 8-hour jaunt due south to Miami Beach. He, Major Albert B. Green, took charge of the wheel. My mother, Esther Aletha Roundtree Green, rode shotgun, with my 4-year-old little brother, Tony, wiggling like a caged spider monkey between them. My maternal grandmother, Mineola Roundtree, whom we called Nanny, took a lion's share of the middle seat. She was not a small woman. Swore she'd never been, nor did I ever want her to be. Nanny was squishy, ample bosom, pillowy for napping against. The middle seat was a slightly abbreviated version of the back bench seat, and Nanny bounced on its wealth of springs between my 9-year-old sister Gay and me. Born 3 years apart, we two Green girls were thick as thieves and would prove to be precisely as trustworthy. Named Aletha Gay after our mom, she favored her in appearance, sharing her pecan brown hair, fair skin, and fetching swath of freckles across her cheeks. I, the lone blonde in the family, was told from the time I could walk that I favored a different wing of the family. In an era when laboring moms were knocked out for delivery, I came with a bit of a rush, causing my mom to forego the usual protocol and keeping her wide awake for every contraction. Still woozy-headed from the furious ordeal, she took one look at me and bellowed with clear astonishment, "She looks just like my brother-in-law!" This declaration invited all manner of mischief from the nursing staff, who made eyes at her when my dad visited the hospital, then winked at her when he came to drive us home. 2 years later, Tony came along looking a good bit more like Dad, and the singular one of us born in our hometown. Gay and I were the only built-in playmates the poor little guy had. He could, therefore, either play what we were playing or play alone. Since we mostly played dolls and he refused to be shut out, he had no recourse but to join us. Tony possessed the maternal touch of a Mack truck, so we assigned him a lesser cherished baby doll and one durable enough to withstand him. He promptly stuck it all the way to the toe of a long white sock of Dad's and carried it around by the ribbed cuff each time we played. Watching him knock it clumsily against table legs, door frames, and tree trunks day in and day out caused Gay and me considerable consternation. Tony was the baby of a 3-generation family well-versed in children, so he was warmly humored. "What you got there, Tony?" the adults and the big kids would ask. "Oh, this old thing," he'd say, shrugging his bony little shoulders. "Just a plain old doll." This was henceforth the name it bore. We were forbidden to take any toys bigger than our palms on our summer vacation in the VW bus. One can't be entirely certain that Dad hadn't contrived such a rule in hopes of leaving plain old doll home in a sock where he believed it belonged. Luckily, 2 matchbox cars fit perfectly in Tony's palms, so he made motor sounds and crash noises every waking moment of the trip. Since Tony's head only popped into view when we hit a pothole, Nanny, who never procured a license nor once had been behind a wheel, had a clear view to aid my father vociferously in his driving from her perch in the middle seat. Her second advantage was a full range of motion to swat anyone who proved worthy of it. Old as she was, she aimed more than struck, so the sibling next to the offender may as well have been complicit. Whoever coined the idiom, hitting 2 birds with 1 stone, was looking square at the arm of my nanny. The generous amount of flesh that hung from her upper arm flapped wing-like when she swung.